Office of Women's Health designs health education materials that deal with scientific issues and presents them in a way that consumers can understand. I'm going to start out a little bit just about talking about our general approach to designing publications, and then toward the end I'm going to talk a little bit about a birth control booklet that I just recently completed. So that's my most recent example. So the FDA is the oldest consumer protection agency, and we regulate foods, so that's everything except for meat and poultry, biologics, and that includes blood products and vaccines. We regulate, of course, human drugs, which is probably what we're best known for, medical devices, and radiological health. So that includes pacemakers, mammography equipment, even cell phones, cosmetics, and then finally animal drugs as well as animal feed. So until the mid-90s, women were actually excluded from clinical trials, women of childbearing age, childbearing potential. And then in the mid-90s, that ban was lifted, and the Office of Women's Health was created to monitor women's inclusion in clinical trials. And then later on, the outreach side of the office, which is where I work, was added to communicate the results of these studies to the public. So in terms of the outreach, we rely a lot on community-based organizations. Since we are a small office and our audience is basically the country as a whole, we really rely on these organizations to get our materials into the hands of women where they live and they work. So this is our first publication that we had. It's really our signature publication. It's called My Medicines, and it encouraged women to keep a list of the medicines that they take and to carry it with them. So Take Time to Care became the umbrella theme for campaigns that we did. We also did one on diabetes. Pink Ribbon Sunday, which is a program that worked with churches and had them encourage women to have a mammogram. In light of the WHI study, we started a menopause and hormones campaign, and then health fraud is one of our most recent campaigns that we're really just starting to gear up with. So the heart of all of these campaigns is really our materials, and it takes a long time, as you might imagine, especially working in the government. From the time we have an idea about a publication to the time it's actually printed and on the shelves, usually takes about 2 years. So we clear this through HHS, just so that they're aware of our concepts. We have our own expertise on staff, and then we also have the appropriate centers review the different materials. So if we're talking about a certain drug, the Center for Drugs would look at our materials. If it's something to do with, say, contact lenses, the Center for Devices would look at it. So we make sure that everyone throughout the agency who needs to see it sees it. We also do focus group testing to the extent that we have the resources for that. So that's something that needs to go through human subjects protection. That's research and those sort of things, and evaluations as well. So it's quite a process. Once the publications are done, they're on the shelf, we have to distribute them to the public. So we distributed over 3.5 million publications in 2006, and so far in 2007 we're up to about 5 million, I think, and we have another month to go. So lots of publications out there. FCIC, which is Pueblo, is actually our main warehouse, so consumers can order all of our publications at no charge through that warehouse. In addition, we rely a lot on our public affairs specialists, so those are FDA employees throughout the country, and they're really the ones who are at the health fairs, they're out in the community, really interacting with the public. And then finally, our office attends national conferences, so we're out there in the community as well, and that's where we get a lot of feedback about our materials. So this is a list of our fact sheets. We have over 40 titles, anything from Botox to the flu to Pap tests, so it really runs the gamut. And we recently redesigned our materials, so this is a new look. Went to the two-column format, so it should be a little bit easier to read. And we also created some color grouping so that all of our fact sheets are not the same color. We kind of grouped different, you know, different fact sheets that were on similar topics. So that's just to show you a little bit what the range of colors look like. And we also have all of our fact sheets now available in Spanish, both in print and on the web, so that was really exciting for us. And then our latest series of publications, and I brought one to show you, is our medicine charts or medicine booklets. And I told her if she came, I'd point her out. So Kim Thomas, who is in my office in the back, was really the person who started all of this. So these booklets were created in response to the public, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. But they talk about every product that's been approved to treat these conditions that are mentioned. So they list brand names, generic names, side effects, and warnings that people need to know if they're taking some of these products. And as I mentioned, birth control is the last one on there, and it's basically it's been completed this week, and I've been working on that, so I'll talk a little bit more about that later. So like I said, these were response to the public. So people would come up to us. We would be in an exhibit hall like here at APHA, and people would say, well, I'm taking this for my high blood pressure, and I'm taking this for my high cholesterol, and do you think I can also take antacids? And, you know, of course, we can't answer those questions, but it gave us an idea of the sorts of questions that people had. They're taking a lot of medicine. How could they do that in a way that was safe? And we also wanted to counter a little bit direct-to-consumer advertising, because it's there all the time. People see it on TV, and it makes every product sound like a miracle product. And it might be a good product, but it might not be a good product for you. So we want to have some balanced information. So Kim started with these medicine booklets based on the label. And then like all of our fact sheets, they also go back and forth to the different centers that are responsible for regulating the different products. And we, you know, it's usually a compromise because the scientists want to keep the language very precise and very technical. And as health educators, we want to make the language very accessible, very understandable. So we go back and forth a few times, and usually by the end, we come up with something that we can both live with. So, and then finally, we test these with the public in focus groups. So this was our original depression chart. It was 8.5 by 11 paper stapled in the corner. And the feedback we got from women is that they didn't like that format. It was too hard to carry around. So they had suggested actually the booklet format. So that was helpful for us. They also, some younger women who looked at these thought our flowers were a little bit frumpy. So we worked with the graphic designer to make something that still had our original look, but it looked a little bit more modern. So that's what we came up with, and this is the inside. Each category of drugs has a section that lists brand names, generic names, like I mentioned, warnings, side effects. And to keep really up to date, we list a website at the bottom of each page, since new products are constantly being approved, some are taken off the market, just to warn people that a print document can never really be the be-all, end-all, so they should always be checking. And we do try to print in small batches and reprint frequently, so we keep the information as up-to-date as possible. So this is my birth control project that I've been working on for quite some time now. This is the 2003 version of the chart. So I wanted to redesign this, do a few things. Or of course, some new products were added. I wanted to make the font a little bit bigger because it was kind of small. It was kind of hard to read. And there are also some things on there that I didn't think were very interesting for consumers, such as the date the product was approved by FDA. I didn't think that was really very useful information for your average person. The other thing I actually wanted to mention, I taught human sexuality at George Washington University, and just working with college students, I know around contraception there's a lot of misinformation, and I thought that pictures would be really helpful. So people would say all the time, oh, the IUD, that's the thing that goes in your arm. And I'd be like, oops. So, So going back, the beginning of each booklet, there's a pullout guide that can be a standalone document. It can also be used on the door in examining rooms, things like that. So there's a picture of each product, and they're also laid out so that the products with the highest effectiveness rate are at the top and with the lowest effectiveness rate at the bottom. We took out, and this was some great feedback from actually some of the scientists that helped us with this, that they thought failure rate was a concept that was really hard for the average person to fully understand. So we changed what our original document talked about, failure rate, to number of pregnancies expected per 100 women who use this product. So we thought that was, it's still complicated, but we thought it was a little bit better. Instead of, originally it had said something like convenience, and we said, how do you use it? So just some of that simplification of the language. And then finally, each product has its own page that goes through what is it, how do I use it, how do I get it? So that's where we mention if it's prescription or if it's over the counter, possibility of getting pregnant, risks, and then also STI information, which we also thought was important. So finally, just inviting you all to join us in distributing these publications, since like I mentioned, they're all free, they're all available at our warehouse, and also at our booth, which is 1246. So thanks, of course, to my whole Office of Women's Health team, and especially to the outreach team that are very supportive in the design of these publications.